Our scripture reading this morning comes from Luke's Gospel, the 15th chapter, and it recounts three closely related parables that Jesus told. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners, and he eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays hands on it and puts it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And then the third parable here in this sequence is one which is quite familiar. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and he traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property on dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough to spare? But here I am, dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost, and now is found.' And they began to celebrate." Model airplanes are one of my passions. In fact, this little guy was out flying off a pond yesterday about this time. Lots of times what I do is I simply buy models that need to be assembled, like this particular one is. But what I really enjoy doing the most is designing and building them from scratch. And some of these models are very simple. Some of them take weeks to build. Some of them have radios in them to control them, like this particular airplane does. Others I just simply launch and let them fly free and lofted by the wind and kind of watch excitedly to see where they might go. There are probably between 40 and 50 of these models of various sizes and descriptions hanging from our basement ceiling and stashed on our shelves. And I think the only thing you can really conclude from that is I have a very, very understanding wife. Well, recently, I decided I'd like to build a very simple model, just as kind of a change of pace. And I made it out of foam board that I just bought at Staples. It only took me an afternoon to build. And I have a little electric timer here, which I made, which controls how long the motor runs. Now, since this doesn't have a radio in it, the idea is to adjust it to have it climb up in circles so that it just doesn't fly away. Well, I had it all set up. As I say, it took about an afternoon to build. I took off to the local farm where we fly, and I began to make adjustments. And it was really flying well. I had the little timer set for about 20 seconds, and it would circle up, and then it would glide down, and it would just about land at my feet. Well, I did this over and over again, and you can see by now, simple things make me happy because I was just so pleased that something that I dreamed up from scratch was working so well. So I did it again, and it circled up, and I glanced at my watch thinking it was about time for that motor to start run down. Nothing happened. The motor kept running. The airplane kept climbing. There was a slight breeze. It started drifting across the field, up the hill, over the barn, out of sight, gone. I thought to myself, wow, this thing is really flying well. I started running after it. Up past the barn, looked into the field across on the other side of the road where it looked like it might have gone. Nothing. The only thing I saw in that field were a bunch of bulls, and I thought, I'm not going there. So I asked the farmer if he'd please keep an eye out for it. But as I was leaving, as I was getting in my car, I thought, you know, I just got to take another look. I just don't want to give up. So I parked my car up by the road, went out, looked at that same field, looked up at all the trees, nothing. As I turned around to go back to my car, propped up against the stone wall next to the road, there it was. Now, compared to what you see over here, which are a lot of my models look like that, or even bigger, this is about the simplest, cheapest, least expensive model you could imagine. And yet I can't tell you how happy I was to have found it. I took it home, and I patched up a few scrapes that it had, and I made a new timer. And now, once again, it is happily flying free. And at least for now, still pretty much landing at my feet. So what does any of this have to do with the message on Sunday morning? Well, as I was driving home, it struck me that what had happened in this kind of minor, somewhat trivial experience was almost a perfect parallel to the much more profound relationship that God has with you and me. I think one of the joys in life is seeing God in every situation in life. And what struck me was that almost everything that happened that afternoon paralleled God's love and concern and care. So as soon as I got home, I jotted some of these parallels down, and then I put them on a board here, and I'd like to share them with you here. I hope you're able to see that. Can you? Is that going to work for you? Okay. I designed and built the plane. God designs and creates us. I programmed the timer and adjusted the flight pattern to stay near me. God places within us an innate desire to stay here, stay near Him, and to seek Him. I let the plane fly free. God gives us free will. I watch with anticipation and joy seeing the plane take wing. God watches with anticipation and joy as you and I take wing. I made adjustments to the plane to perfect its flight pattern. God makes adjustments to us over the course of a lifetime to conform us to the image of His Son. And you know, we have a word for that. It's called the process of sanctification. It's not an event. It's a process that occurs over a lifetime. There are more parallels. My plane experienced a system failure and flew away. You and I experience system failures called sin. Even though it was small and inexpensive, it had value to me. Even the least of God's children are of great value to Him. I chased after my plane. God chases after us and doesn't give up until He finds us. I rejoiced when I found it. Our scripture reading this morning says that God in all heaven rejoices when God finds us. I made necessary repairs. God repairs us through the cross. I took the plane back to the field and let it fly free again. So does God. I think we all experience times in our lives when we may feel lost or distant or disconnected from God, don't we? I think it's just part of the human condition. Our circumstances and our faith go through ebbs and flows. You know, survival handbooks tell us that when we're lost, the best thing to do is stay put. The worst thing to do is to begin to wander around even more, because when we stay put, it's easier for rescuers to find us and to find us more quickly. There's a beautiful passage in Scripture from the book of Isaiah which speaks to this idea in spiritual terms. From ages past, no one has heard and no eye has perceived. Only any God beside you, no one beside you who works for those who wait for Him. So the next time you and I somehow feel distant or disconnected or lost, let's ask God to give us the presence of mind to wait for Him to find us. For most certainly He will. So if we can somehow muster the presence of mind to wait for Him to find us, what does it really mean to have God find us? This is where my example and God's example are not the same. When I was looking for my airplane, I truly had no idea where it was. God always knows where you and I are. It's you and I that cannot see God's presence because our circumstances are blocking our vision, are dulling our senses. Very much like that barn was blocking my view to see where the airplane really was next to that stone wall. When you and I wait for God to find us, I think what we're really doing is giving God the opportunity to soften our hearts and to open our eyes, see, and to realize that God was there with us the entire time. And sometimes in life's more challenging and dark circumstances, that softening of our hearts and that opening of our eyes can take time, can't it? Sometimes it can take a lot of time. We have a God who designs and creates us, and a God who programs us to want to seek Him and stay close to Him, but at the very same time, a God who has given us free will so that we can go out and experience and enjoy the world. We have a God who chases after us when we get lost or stray. A God who rejoices when He finds us. A God who cares for us and repairs us and a God who sends us out again and again and again into the world to live life abundantly in the freedom of his loving presence. That is the good news of the parables from Luke that we read this morning. And there's something else going on here as well. Having this little airplane fly away was the last thing I'd hoped for or expected. And yet, if that had not happened, the totality of all these beautiful parallels would never have occurred to me. So this incident helped me realize something that I believe we can apply to life's far more serious situations. And that is that in loss, there can be gain. Because what is when God is involved, what is temporarily lost is ultimately and always found.